Good morning. I don't know how many of you here are fathers, but I am, twice. And I'll tell you what, there are very few things in life that are more enjoyable to me than opening my door when I get home. And the little one, where's Kitty? And I hear, and she hears the door, and she doesn't need to know that Ho is there. She hears the door and she's like, "Hey, Daddy!" Followed by, "Hey, Dad!" This is priceless. This is priceless. I was fortunate enough to have a good father, to have a good upbringing. And my dad is a very, very calm person. And I had the privilege to learn many, many good principles from him. And I learned, you know, honesty. My dad was a businessman, is a businessman to this day. He still has a business, a 50-plus-year business. I learned humbleness. I learned forgiveness. I learned kindness. And I didn't learn these things because he taught me. He told me. I learned these things because I see him doing it. And it was a very, very interesting experience because my dad was honest and humble and kind to the point that people would say, "Hey, you know, you're not being very smart. People are, you know, making a fool of you." And something else I learned with him is that God will fight for us when people do wrong to us. It's not our, you know, duty, obligation, is not for us to go there and fix things. God will fix it for you. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles with me on Mark 14. So go to Mark 14. And this is a very well-known passage in the Bible. Before we open our Bibles, I'm going to once again have a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your Bible now, that my voice may be shut and your voice may be heard. Help us to understand and to grow closer to you as we read your Bible, your Word. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So Mark 14, and we're going to read verse 36. And in my New King James translation, it reads like this. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." I love when I learn new meanings for something that I was taught my whole life. My whole life I grew up learning that this Abba word means what? Means daddy. It's a very dear way of calling your father. And it's interesting, in Portuguese, we have less ways of saying father than we have in English. In Portuguese, we either say pai or papai. Papai is closer to daddy. But in English, we have father, we have dad, we have daddy, right? Papa, yeah. Pops. Yeah, we have many, many ways of saying father. Yeah, but so I grew up with this concept in my mind that Abba means simply daddy. But is it all? Abba really represents this closeness, this intimacy. But that's not the whole story. Abba does mean daddy. Abba does mean dad. And Abba does mean father. But according to a theologian, a Lutheran theologian, his name was Joachim Jeremiah. The word also means, Father, I obey you. There are some words that have no translation. Like in Portuguese, we have this word that we all love. It's called saudade. You know saudade, right, Luis? Because it comes from the Portuguese, from Portugal. And it means missing, but it also means nostalgia, and it also means longing. And there's simply no word in English that can fully describe what saudade is. And that's why when you read the Bible and we see this word Abba showing up in different places, and we're going to go through some of them, it's not translated as daddy, because there's no actual translation for Abba. It means more than just daddy. It means father, daddy, I obey you. It has the sense of intimacy, but it also has the sense of obedience, of submission, of trust. Because you know the difference between obedience and compliance, right? You can comply, you can do what you're told, but that is not obedience. Obedience is more than that. Obedience means you trust the person enough. You trust their advice. You trust their command. You trust that they know what they're doing. We can all be compliant in life. But to be obedient, we need to trust whomever we are being obedient to. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles in Mark 14, and now we're going to read Verse 35 and 36. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not on what I will, but what you will. So this is one of the most intimate moments Jesus has with his Father. And he is going through enormous suffering. And he's like, Daddy, please. This is too much. I don't know if I can take it. But nevertheless, don't do what I'm asking. Do what you want to do. Let's go to Romans 8:15. In Romans 8:15, we're going to have another perspective on the expression Abba. On my translation, it reads, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, to whom we cry out, Abba, Father. What this text here says is the same close relationship that Jesus had to the Father, we can have too. And it's all nice when we put our pink lenses. How do you say this? Rose pink lenses? Rose colored glasses. And we only look at the intimacy aspect. We all want to be embraced. We all want to be cared for. We all want to be loved and accepted the way we are. And that is beautiful. But if Abba also means, I want to obey you, then there's another aspect to this verse. Once I get adopted, when I receive the adoption and become a son of God, in order to have to attain this close relationship, I need to be able to trust Him completely. To the point I will say, Father, Daddy, I will obey you. I want to do what you want me to do. Let's go to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. And we're going to read 1 to 7. And you're going to have to bear with my broken English. Galatians 4, 1 to 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But then the fullness of the time had come. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, and I'm going to add, and daughters. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, oh, come on, you can do better than that. You're with me, crying out, Abba. Yes. Father, therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Once again, this verse describes the whole process for us to become truly sons and daughters of God. I had this pastor one time that he challenged the congregation. It was very interesting. He started by saying, who here thinks that everybody is a son and daughter of God? And people are like, yeah, we're created by God. But the truth is, in order to become sons of God and daughters of God, we have to accept it. We have to be adopted. Because we are actually sons and daughters of this world. When we're born in sin. We're not automatically heirs of the kingdom. We need to receive the adoption. We need to be able to call Him Abba. Did you know that the way we call our fathers, earthly fathers, says a lot about our relationship with Him. I know I've met people that will call their fathers by their first name. And to me, it was the weirdest thing. You know, they're like, hey, hi, Scott. I'm like, isn't he your dad? Yeah, well, I'll call. The way we refer to our fathers, we address them, says a lot about our relationship with Him. There's something else about this moment in which Jesus goes and says, Abba, Father. it was one of the hardest moments in his relationship with the father, because he knew that very, very soon he would be separated from his father for the first time ever. Have you ever thought about it? It was hard enough for him to bear the weight of the whole world, the whole sin of the whole world on his shoulders. But he knew that soon enough, this relationship that was unbreakable would be broken. And we know the story from the end. But the anxiety and the pain that was inside Jesus' spirit that night was tremendous. He wasn't that sure that he will come out on the other side and see the Father again. And still he was willing to do it. He knew he had to do it. I told you guys a short story. It wasn't short, because my stories are never short. I can't do it. But I told you not too long ago what happened one time when I went out with Isaac and Kaylee. You guys remember the story? We went to a crowded place and I lost him. Or we got separated and he got lost and I got lost. And I'll tell you what, those were the longest 5 minutes of my whole life. I was separated from my son. I didn't know what happened to him. All those fears and all those, you know, bad thoughts came to my mind. Oh, somebody might have got him, and I don't know what's... Because we were very close. Because when he was born, Juliana was very sick. So for the first four years of his life, basically, with a few moments here and there, but most of this time it was just me and him. Everywhere. To church, to parties, you know, birthday parties, and everything we would do together. So that moment for me was really one of the hardest things I have ever had to go through. Now, that gives me just a glimpse of what the father might have felt. I'm going to share with you a quote from Desire of Ages. And this is in chapter 74. And I'm not even going to risk saying the page, because now with the digital and different versions, numbers are not as precise as they used to be. But this is in chapter 74 of Desire of Ages. And it reads like this. But God suffered with his son. And this is referring to the Gethsemane moment. They saw their Lord enclosed by legions of satanic forces, his nature weighted down with a shuddering, mysterious dread. There was silence in heaven. No harp was touched. Could mortals have viewed the amazement of the angelic host as in silent grief they watched their father separating his beam of light, love, and glory from his beloved son? They would better understand how offensive in his sight is sin. I think how the angels saw this whole thing unveiling. Because for them, the image they had of the Father and Son was of one thing. They were inseparable. For how long? Forever! Forever! We don't know what is the lifespan of an angel when they were created, but since they were created, since they started to exist, that's all they knew. Father and Son are one. But at one moment, heaven becomes silent. You know that in the throne of God, there are entities that are always praising God. Holy, holy, holy. You know, heaven is a loud place filled with entities giving glory and honor to God. But in this particular moment, everything ceased. The choir stopped singing. The harps stopped plucking. And the angels were watching. Not only the suffering of the Son, but they are now watching the suffering of the Father. And I imagine that this was very weird for them. And scary at the same time. And as Ellen White says, if we could understand the agony, the suffering that both of them had to go through, we would think twice about sinning. I'm here to remind you this morning that God still suffers when each one of their sons and daughters are separating from Him. So I don't know where in your life you are right now. I don't know how close you are or how far apart are you from the Father. And I'm going to add one thing to this talk. For some of you, maybe, you didn't have a good earthly father. So I get it. For some of us, it's hard for us to trust. It's hard. I was fortunate enough to have a father in which I could trust. But maybe that's not your experience. Now, through adoption, you now have a father you can trust. A father you can truly call daddy. A father you can truly say, hey, I trust you enough that I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And this father still suffers when you're not close to him. The same pain that he suffered from the separation between him and Jesus, he feels when we separate from him, because we are also adopted as their sons and daughters. So the idea I'm going to leave with you tonight, is that through adoption, you can call him daddy. You do have a daddy. One that will never fail you. That will never betray you. That always, always wants the best for you. And that is looking forward to the day in which he will be able to physically embrace you and say, hey, I've been waiting for you. Who wants to be there? I do. Let's pray. Abba, Father, We look forward to the day in which we're going to be able to embrace you, in which we're going to be able to thank you for sending your Son. So we have the opportunity of one day be with you forever. We know, Lord, that sometimes it's hard for us to obey you, to do everything you want us to do. But we also thank you because through the sacrifice of your Son, we can ask forgiveness and you will accept us again. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that feels that is beyond the point of forgiveness, please fill their hearts with your love so they can understand that you are still waiting for us, that you suffer when we are separated from you. Please, Lord, give us the strength to seek you every day and to put you first in our lives, in our decisions, in everything we do, so we can grow closer to you every day, to the point that being with you is going to be our priority in life. Help us also to show other people around us that we do have a Father, and they can also be adopted in your kingdom if they accept to. All these things, Lord, I ask, knowing that I don't deserve anything, but I ask in your Son's name, in Jesus' name, amen.